Welcome to our podcast, Code Cafeteria. We are Lara, Miguel, and Kai, and we talk about developer life, tech, games, and other things. There is a new Nintendo Switch game that is keeping our minds still busy in these difficult times. And that game couldn't have come at a better time. And of course, we are still talking about Animal Crossing. Today, we are doing an episode off the main track, and we call that episode 7A. And it's the second episode about this game. Today, we're also doing something very different. We invited a whole lot of our friends that also play the game, and we're going to have a bit of a chat about their experiences with the game, and we will cover some extra topics like the famous or infamous Bunny Day event. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
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 Oh my God, so many people. I'm so excited. So should we maybe start by going through the room and you introduce yourselves quickly? And how about we start with Jennifer?
Hello, I am Jen, not Jennifer.
Oh, sorry.
I have not played a lot of Animal Crossing prior to this game. I used to play Pocket Camp a little bit, but not a lot. But this is my first full Animal Crossing game. I've been playing for a week now, and today is the day that my resident services is getting upgraded. So that's where
Very exciting. And you will have a very special story to contribute a bit later, I think, because you are the only person in our group that actually has to share their island.
Yes, I have to share my Switch with my husband, who has, for some reason, become obsessed with Animal Crossing, which I was not expecting. And we're probably going to have to buy a second Switch now.
That's going to be interesting. So the second person, or second guest, is Helen. Hey, Helen.
Hey, everybody. So I'm also known as Webby Frost from Gilligan's Island. I used to love that show. So where I'm at is today I could finally kind of get Isabel to give me advice on my island, who keeps telling me I have one star and is giving me absolutely nothing to help with that whatsoever, other than apparently one of my residents enjoys the fact that nobody knows about it. So that is driving me nuts. In terms of playing this game before, I of course just jumped on the bandwagon, had never played it on the DS. I was this close to having a rage blackout and throwing my Switch at a wall today because of this game.
Oh, that's funny. Okay. Then our guest number three, Diana. Hi.
Hi, everyone. I'm Diana. You will have heard my name mentioned in Cold Cafeteria before. I always get a mention as my wife. So I'm married to Kai, and I guess this is the reason why I'm here today, because he knows quite well how I'm playing Animal Crossing and how obsessed I am. I've been playing for quite a while now. I started with the Nintendo 3DS. Animal Crossing Happy Home Designer was pre-installed when I got my DS, and I thought that was really, really cute, and I started playing it. And then I talked my friend Nick into playing with me. You will hear from him probably after me. And that one thing led to another. From Happy Home Designer, it went to Animal Crossing New Leaf on the DS, played for over a year, have done all the events, fell in love with some of my residents. And of course, when the game came out on the Switch, I had to get it and play it.
Cool, thank you. And I think your history with Happy Home Designer pays off now, right? So we'll come back to that in a few minutes, probably. The last guest, last but not least, is Nick, who you might have heard on this podcast before if you are a regular listener. Hey, Nick.
Hey there. Similar to Diana, started with Happy Home Designer, which was awesome and really cool. And then I went on to Animal Crossing on the 3DS, which was also fantastic. Enjoyed getting rid of people I didn't like and selecting which residents I wanted to move in to keep everything looking cute and fluffy. And now with New Horizons, I've just had my fifth resident move in, and Isabel has just popped up, which kind of sent shivers down my spine from all of the bossiness of her in the 3DS version. So I'm hoping she's a little bit more chillaxed this time.
Isabelle is kind of a very interesting character, isn't she?
Yes, if you played the 3DS version, you're used to her just basically telling you what to do and when to do everything. And, you know, the irony of being the mayor of a town and yet you have to do all of the jobs and spend all of your money to keep the residents happy. But she pretty much just keeps you in line and just bosses you around a lot.
Okay. And then we finally have Lara and Miguel. Hello again.
Hello.
Hello. I don't think we have to explain. Right.
But you can say, where are you now in the game?
Yeah, exactly. That would be interesting. How far did you go over the last week?
So yesterday I got my town rated with 3 stars.
Whoa.
But I'm supposed to have this super KK star, whatever singer coming to my town to do a concert. But I don't know when or how. And that's all. And there was one thing that Isabel told me. It was more like a feedback complaint. Some residents said that I have too many trees.
So they saw through your plan of just farming fruit, right?
I mean, of course, I need money. I have to pay the loans. Have you seen what you have to pay for loans?
Yeah, I know.
So someone complained. Seems like they get lost or something. I don't have so many. I pushed them all to the back of the island. So they are free to walk, almost.
Okay.
I think hours already, according to the Switch. I got the concert already, which unlocked some stuff that is cool in the game. For example, making paths in the town. But now I'm taking it slowly now, because I think that there is an event going on in the game that for me ruined experience, and I just said, okay, I'm gonna play another game meanwhile, and I'm just gonna go to my town once for 1 hour a day, and that's it. And we can talk about that later.
Yeah, I think so. So with all of us having played like at least a week now, probably, you know, most people close to 2 weeks. Do you still like the game? And was it still like, you know, a good investment to get it? Is that the overall sentiment?
Yeah, I think so.
Regrets, I say. This close to throwing my Switch at a wall. If I spend miles to go to a mysterious island and get more pears and the same flowers I already have, I will throw at it. It's driving me nuts.
I'm having the same problem with my apple islands. I only get apples and it's really frustrating.
But that's kind of not a game breaker, right? I mean, it's annoying. Like, we all probably find some annoying things. But you would, I suppose, agree that you still enjoy playing the game overall, right?
Yeah, I'm maybe still enjoying it. But I have the same opinion as Miguel about the egg event.
Yeah, should we maybe talk about that egg event and the bunny day event, what they call it in the game? Because I think quite a few people share Miguel's opinion, including me.
This bunny game event started on the 1st of April and it's going to finish on the 12th. So we still have, 8 days?
8 days
remaining. Yeah. Oof, a lot of time. And and what happens during this event is that you're going to get eggs when you were supposed to get other types of resources. For example, you're fishing and you get a water egg. Or you are cutting wood and you get a wood egg instead of getting wood. And the game is already difficult in the sense of the balance of some stuff. For example, fishing certain fishes is really difficult. Or the normal wood is actually really rare. Is you get more softwood or hardwood instead of like the normal wood. So that makes it more difficult because now you're getting less food because you're getting this X. And the other problem is that everything that you can build with this X is actually really ugly, in my opinion. I don't want to put that in my home. Maybe
my house is full of it right now. My house is all bunny day furniture.
Why would you do that, Jennifer?
Again, because you like it or not.
not because I like it, but because I've dug up all these stupid eggs. I think like what you said with how you said instead of the resource is the key problem. Like if I was fishing and I got a fish and an egg, or like chopping wood and I got an extra egg, that would be fine. But because it's replacing resources, and I'm still quite early compared to the rest of you, I need a lot of resources and it's really frustrating.
The problem that I have with the Bunny Day event is the quality and the design of the things you get, like Miguel. I mean, I'm fine with the eggs, and like if it replaces some of the resources we would get otherwise, that is a nuisance to me, but it's not a deal breaker. But the problem is really, of the 17 recipes I have for Bunny Day stuff, about 13 or 14 are just ugly as hell.
And I like, actually really like, the only thing I really do like is the final outfit. Once you've got all the outfits for all the eggs, the outfit that I'm wearing now with all of the egg colors on it is pretty cute. It's like a cute dress and hat, and it's pretty cute.
Is that the thing you get from the bunny then, when you have everything?
No, once you've got, if you fish up or dig up or whatever the eggs, all of the same egg, then you get clothes in that egg style. So like this water egg outfit. And once you've got the outfit for all six eggs, you then unlock the final one without talking to the bunny.
Yeah, I haven't seen that final outfit yet. Diana, how do you like the Bunny Day event?
I don't mind it as much as some of you. I just learned quite nicely to ignore it. It really just annoys me when fishing and I get more eggs than fish. But I have really, really good amount of wood saved up anyway, and I don't shoot down the stripy balloons that have Bunny Day related DIY recipes or eggs in them. I'm getting a little bit annoyed when I dig up the earth eggs because I expect fossils. But it's just how it is, and it will end soon, and then I can get on as normal, I think.
I have an interesting question for Lara and Diana, maybe, because you played the previous Animal Crossing game on the 3DS. Did they have similar events in that game as well, like an Easter or Bunny Day or like a Christmas-type event?
Yes, and it was called Bunny Day. I don't remember it as being that annoying. Nick, you played too. I remember vaguely there was Bunny Day, but not what it really entailed.
Yeah, because there wasn't the same resourcing requirements in the 3DS version, I think finding the eggs was kind of a bit more exciting in the original version. But because you're fighting for resources now, as everyone else has said, it's more frustrating to get eggs instead. But Hippity, the rabbit, was certainly exactly the same character from the previous one, and the designs of the, we'll say, rewards seem pretty similar as well. They don't seem to have done much. I think they've just ported a lot of them over into the Switch graphics, so I expect we'll see the same seasonal events happening, you know, on the Switch the same as we did on the 3DS.
I didn't see the Christmas season in the previous game. So I hope they have like cute things, not compared to the Bunny Day.
Oh, yeah, no, the Christmas tree was really cool. Yeah, the Christmas tree for Christmas was excellent. Diana, I think you had more of them than I did, but certainly the Santa outfit is really cool as well.
I can't remember the Christmas outfit at all.
Yeah, you had to get all the different bits of the Santa Claus outfit, the boots and the trousers and the hat. And I know the Christmas tree with all the lights on was cool, and I seem to remember that the whole village was covered in snow and there was Christmas lights around some of the trees and things, so that'll be quite cool when that happens.
This might be interesting this year then, because of course we were playing in like a Northern Hemisphere style on the 3DS, and this time we could choose which hemisphere we are in. So of course we are in the Southern Hemisphere, which means that we should have summer at Christmas time. That will be interesting what they're going to do with that.
So yeah. I wanna ask a thing about that, because we have these sakura flowers, petals now, and I think you have something different.
We have nothing
so far. No.
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 I think we're supposed to get pine cones. I've seen recipes.
We have pine cones and acorns.
Do the pine cones come from the redwood trees at the back of the island?
Yeah.
So no, I don't think we've got anything special in the trees at the moment. They're just normal green trees,
But the acorns.
I was hoping they'd go orange.
Yeah, of course, because we are in spring, Lara.
Yeah.
And that's why we have the pink trees.
Yeah.
But they don't have that. But they have the bunny day, but they don't have the sakura theme thing.
I suppose Easter is kind of worldwide, whereas seasonal things would be different depending what part of the world you're in.
I was hoping our trees would go like orange and brown, but they haven't yet. Maybe they will over time.
But see, Jen, that doesn't make sense either, right? Because we don't really have brown trees and brown leaves in New Zealand or Australia in autumn.
I think
it's kind of evergreen here, really.
If we go on the previous version.
It's the southern hemisphere, not Australia specific.
Yeah, if we go on the previous version and look at the four distinct seasons that they show in Mario Kart, will probably go through the spring, summer, winter, autumn seasons, and the trees should change accordingly.
Or maybe they just didn't finish it in time and it will be applied in a future patch. The autumn in the southern hemisphere. Okay,
so
cool.
I wanted to ask a question, like not unrelated to now hemispheres. I want to know, what's your routine when you start playing the game a day, like today? You got the Switch at some point during the day. What did you do? What do you do normally? Do you shake trees? Do you collect the fruits? You go to check what's on the store? I don't know.
I can go first. I don't actually spend a lot of time doing stuff on my own island, but that's partly because I'm sharing it with my husband, and we don't talk to each other enough to figure out who's shaken the trees and hit the rocks and that kind of thing. So I tend to go off to other islands more. I might go and talk to my villagers, especially if I've got a Nook Miles thing to talk to my villagers, or go around and talk to them, and I'll pick up some stuff on the ground. But we haven't been picking up our apples because I'm trying to figure out which trees are apple trees so I can dig them up and move them around. So I've been trying not to shake off all my fruit at the moment.
I'm a bit like a distracted cat. I'll run from one place to get something, and then I'll see a hole in the ground and dig it up quickly and grab the fossil, and then I'll run off and suddenly see a branch and get distracted by that. And I'll pick up the branch, and then generally I'll shake a tree, get stung by wasps about 10 times, keep having all of my villagers telling me how awfully swollen my face looks and that I should get it looked at. So I get distracted. I try and have a plan of, okay, I'm going to walk up and down the whole beach, collect everything, sell it, but things distract me. Shiny things, I run off and get things.
I tend to go fossil hunting first, because I'm quite obsessed with the museum. I do love how they've done that.
It's really fantastic. The museum is the best part of the game, hands down.
It is so amazing. Cool to start seeing it fill up, and you can start seeing your fish swimming around. And although I was really annoyed at the moment because of the eggs, because I was trying to get more fish into my museum. But at the moment, like, I've got heaps of other resources, so I keep trying to go to other islands and get different stuff. I was got obsessed with trying to find hydrangeas at some point, but yes, then I just hit the wall and almost threw it and gave up and was like, I'm gonna go kill things in Bloodborne instead.
I usually try to do something that advances me in the game. So, for example, if I finish paying off a new bridge the night before, then I will go and check on the bridge that it had been built overnight and do the little ceremony and talk to Isabel about my rating and see if anything has changed there, which it never does. I'm on a solid 1 star and that doesn't seem to change at all. I'm also working on getting one of my favorite characters to move into my town, and I'm a bit obsessed with that in the moment. And once I've done all of these things, I go check the shops, buy the things that I want, shake all my trees, dig up the fossils, and try to find someone who owns a non-apple island to open the gates so that I can sell my apples on the island.
Can we talk about how you try to get your favorite animal to move to the island? Because that is something that quite a few people might not know and might not even be able to do in the first place.
Animal Crossing New Horizons also takes advantage of the amiibo cards and amiibo figurines that came out with previous versions of Animal Crossings. And because Nick and I were quite obsessed with the 3DS version, we have a huge stack of cards. I mean, huge. We have about 60, and I think there are over 400. So I think compared to really hardcore collectors, this is still just a small amount. But some of the characters that I really liked on the 3DS, we have their cards off. And what you can do is when you go to the machine in the residence center, you can choose to invite a person to your campground once you have built the campground. So I picked one of my favorite characters and invited them to the campground. And apparently some of them do move in after some time. So there's this cute little purple cat named Rosie that I really, really like. So I invited her yesterday, and then she asked me to build her a table, and I had to spend hours getting the resources together to build her a table, and I gave her this amazing gift, and she said, thank you. And then I asked her, do you want to move in? And she said, oh yeah, I would love to, but I can't because I own so much glitter, I can't get it shipped over here, it would be too expensive. So today I invited her again, and she made me build her a chair, which was easy because I had all the resources readily available. It took me 2 minutes to hang it all together and go and give it to her. And apparently she has unfinished business in her hometown. While she loved camping out on my island, she felt like she really had to go back. So I'm going to give it another go tomorrow and see if she can stick around then.
Do you have a terrain that she can move into, like an empty house lot?
Yes. Yesterday I had one, and a camouflaged frog moved in. And today I built three more in the hope that not three random animals will show up and that there is space that she can move into.
Will you kick out some neighbors, the ones that buy the lots and you don't want them, so you have space for Rosie?
I have two animals that I don't really like a lot, but they are not evil. So I know from the 3DS that some residents can be like super annoying and you just have to get rid of them. They are not quite on that scale yet. But like one that recently moved in, which is like an orange, I don't even know what it is, thing with a long nose, like an ant eater almost. He's really annoying. Like, he sat in front of my house the whole morning with a can, probably a can of beer. I have no idea. And he kept just following me around. So he's high on my list of people to get rid of. But I tried to speak to Isabel once or twice about residents that annoy me. And she is so judgmental. She just gives you the look that you just really don't want to kick out people. So for now, I'm just keeping them all in, and we'll just build more homes so that Rosie can move in.
One of my starting animals was Bud the Lion, who's always going on about exercising. All he does is like lift weights and run and do push-ups, and it's so annoying. I would love to get rid of him, but I can't get rid of anyone yet. I'm just stuck with everyone I've got.
I was going to say, it sounds like everyone has a powerlifting animal, because I've got Rocco the Rhino, and he's always talking about doing weights and telling me how to cool down after exercising. And there's a gorilla that's just moved in that's wandering around doing weights all the time as well.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, I know from reading in some Animal Crossing wikis, going through the animal list, that they all have certain characters. So it's all documented, you know, like how certain animals behave in some way. It's funny because I have an exercising lion as well, like Jen, but it's not the same. It's another lion. And I don't know if there's something weird in the lion den that, you know, makes them all go wild for stuff like, you know, running and like boxing and weightlifting.
No, I have a hipster lion that is like a university professor. And if you go at his home, inside is like a classroom. He even has like a skeleton there and desk for studying and stuff like that.
Oh my God. I've seen the skeleton in my shop. I didn't find the skeleton that appealing, to be honest. No, not my style.
At one point, my husband had an empty house except for a skeleton in the corner, and I thought that it looked like a serial killer's house.
So speaking about your husband, how is playing Animal Crossing with another actual human on your island?
It's terrible. The multiplayer is terrible. I didn't do any like research into it at first, so I didn't know how it was going to work. But how it works, if you're sharing a Switch, is that you only have one island per Switch. So everyone on the same machine is on the same island. And the first person who sets it up is the resident representative. And so that person has to do all of the work of like, whenever Tom Nook has a you know, quest for you to put down a new house or whatever, the first person has to do that and has to have all of the resources. But I am still working at the moment and my husband is not. He's on forced leave because of coronavirus. So he's spending way more time playing than me, but I still have to do all of the work. So he's upgraded his house like 3 times and he's way more advanced than me. And I'm still stuck because I had to go gather resources for all of the stupid raccoons. And yeah, it's annoying. And you can't play together very well either. They have this thing where you can play, like both of you can log in at the same time and play at the same time. But one of you is the leader and the other one is the follower. And while you're the follower, all you can do is pick up stuff off the ground, and even then it doesn't go to your inventory, it goes to the lost box. You can't interact with your own inventory or anything. It's very annoying.
And I was always wondering how stuff ends up in the lost box. So well, now we know.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the main reason for it, right? So you still get stuff in the lost box randomly. We still get random junk in there. I think most people get cardboard boxes or whatever random stuff. But that's the main thing it's used for. If you have an extra person logged in at the same time, whenever they pick up stuff, it goes in the lost box.
And your husband was also quite lucky in getting a really amazing present pretty much really early in the game, correct?
He got a really cool dinosaur cutout, which looks awesome in front of his house. Like, you can tell straight away which house is my house and which house is his house when you come to our island, because mine has like nice rows of flowers and a nice little picket fence. And his has like a dinosaur and a random pyramid thing in front of it. And yeah, his dinosaur is really cool. Like, everyone who sees it wants the dinosaur.
Yeah, that was including me.
Yeah, and that came out of a balloon, one of the floating balloons.
So you said that your husband, you get the resources and the money, basically, and your husband is the one that upgrades the house and everything.
That's why. Yeah, so he can, any resources he gets, he can use for his own house. But me, I have to be spending my resources on, like, giving it to the two little kid raccoons to upgrade their store at the start. I had to spend all of that time getting the iron and the wood and everything else to upgrade the nook's cranny or whatever it's called. And then also when you build the first 3 house plots for your first 3 animals that move in, only the resident rep can see what's required for that house and put stuff inside that lockbox for that house. And also, I got given those recipes, and he didn't. So he couldn't make them, even if he wanted to help.
Only I could make them. if you get the second Switch and the second game, who's gonna get the second?
He'll
game?
Have to. It's my house. It's my Switch. Yeah. This is my Switch.
So he'll have to start from scratch. Again. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But But he has more time to play games than me anyway.
In the end, you can always ship the objects. Like, yeah.
You can post it to someone else.
Yeah.
And you can use the old house as a guest house, for example.
Yeah. As a club.
I've seen some users creating a second account on the Switch just to have an empty house that they can use for random stuff.
Oh, that's cool. That's a good idea.
Don't send him the dinosaur. I totally thought that was yours. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Interesting. Okay. So would you say like the multiplayer mode is not properly thought through by Nintendo? Like some of their online offerings are not really ideal either?
I mean, there's also, as the rest of you know, like going to other people's islands is kind of annoying. It takes a long time. You're directly connecting. Sometimes the connection drops out while you're traveling. The person on that island can't do anything. No one on that island can do anything. So if you have a big party and all your friends come over to your island, then they all come one at a time and then they all leave one at a time and you're just stuck twiddling your thumbs. The designer, like sharing design patterns that you make is also really annoying. You can only do one at a time. It's really clunky. Miguel can probably talk better about that than me. But I was trying to import some today and I could only do them one at a time and I was so frustrated I gave up.
Yeah, to scan them. It's so annoying that you cannot be browsing codes on your phone because you need your phone to scan them.
Yeah.
So you need to be browsing codes on your desktop computer or another phone. And then you need to scan them with your phone. It's so annoying.
And then you can only import one at a time into your own designer in your game once you've connected it to the Nook, whatever it is, the app thing. You can only import one at a time. So you scan it, you import it, you scan it, you import it. And it's really clunky, very clunky.
We are all kind of playing the game just regular times, I think, but did anyone or does anyone try time travel? Did you try that? So in theory, in the game, you can change the date on your Switch, and then you basically, when you open the game, you are in that day. If you change the, let's say, the date on your Switch to be July, 1st of July, then in your game, you will be in 1st of July. So you could travel up to Christmas and see what it's in Christmas?
I think that the events don't do that because the events are kind of triggered by the by the server or something like this. You cannot escape the Bunny Man, I think, if you time travel to the 13th of April.
That sucks.
But for example, if you need to fish a shark, that we don't have sharks yet, but because they appear in June for us, we can time travel to June then to try to fish a shark or catch a shark. And then you can, and then there's people who have, in theory, you can also plant money and then you get a money tree.
Wait, what?
Yes. And then you time travel and then you get the money from the tree. And then you time travel back, you plant the tree and then you do it again.
Did you not know about the money tree, Lara?
No, I saw a picture, but I didn't know what it was.
When you see the, like, sometimes you'll see a sparkly thing on the ground, and if you dig it up, you get money.
Yes.
And if you then bury the money back in the hole while it's still, like, a shiny hole, then you'll grow a money tree. And then the fruit will be however much money you buried in the hole, up to, I think, 10,000 per bag.
Yeah, there's more to that. You don't have to bury exactly the bag of money you got.
Yeah.
From the hole, you can, if you have another bag of money, let's say a 10,000 bell bag, you can bury that, and then your tree will grow 3 times 10,000.
Yeah, I've just been burying the 1,000 that I get because I need my money for other stuff. But yeah, maybe I should be thinking more like investment in my future, burying 10,000 bells.
Okay, thank you. I'm gonna bury some money whenever I see those.
The time travel thing, coming back to that quickly, the people who have played it on the 3DS, have you done time travel on that platform?
I haven't done proper time travel because I think that would turn the game into something completely different and it would potentially take a little bit out of the fun out of it. But what I've done, and you will probably remember this, Kai, the year I played obsessively on New Year's Eve, we wanted to see what happens at midnight, but we were pretty tired very early and weren't quite convinced that it was a good idea to hang out until midnight. So I think we put the clock forward 2 or 3 hours. Just to see what would happen at midnight and greet the new year together with Isabel and the Nukes. And then I turned it back by the 3 hours the next day.
I do remember that actually, yes.
I played another game in Nintendo, I don't remember the name, where if I switched the date of my Switch, I will get punished in the game and I will not be able to buy anything on the store until 24 hours later.
Tomodachi Friends.
That one. So I was super afraid as well on for this game. Not because I wanted to time travel, but because by some reason my Switch is 15 minutes ahead and I wanted to put it on time for the game. But I was afraid of that and getting punished and not being able to go to the store and that those things.
I think your villagers will start calling you time traveler.
Really?
I've seen some screenshots, yeah.
Oh, that is so cool. Okay, so that were pretty much all the topics we wanted to talk about in this episode. Should we do like a final round through cycling through everyone and maybe briefly talk about what everyone expects or looks forward to happening next in their game?
I would also like to hear if anyone has some tips.
Ooh, secret knowledge.
Secret knowledge. Like the money
tree. Okay, that is not that secret.
It was for me. No one told me.
I'm looking forward to Christmas in it. I love any game where at Christmas there's snow everywhere and the Christmas tree appears in hopefully the town centre and you get to do Christmas tasks. I'm looking forward to catching more fish. I've noticed in the 3DS version there was a lot of beetles that would be on tree trunks, but I've not seen any beetles at the moment, so I don't know if they are something you need to be unlocked or not. But yeah, mainly seasonal things, so Christmas will be cool for me.
I have a tip about beetles. They'll appear on tree trunks. If you cut a tree down, you'll sometimes get beetles on the like with the cut down trunk.
So given that you just talked anyway, do you want to maybe, you know, like talk about your thing that you look forward to next?
What I really want to be able to do is the paths that Miguel was talking about right at the start. I had to look that up today because I was getting very frustrated with how my town looks. I feel like it's a potato town compared to other people like Miguel and Lara with their beautifully laid out towns. But it's a lot of work to get to that point. So that's what I'm working towards right now. I want to be able to build the paths and stuff and lay it out more like a town and less like random houses in a forest.
Yeah, I can agree with that. That's what I'm looking forward to as well. How about you, Helen?
Yeah, I would say the same thing because I kind of, the island style I picked in the beginning, I'm a little bit frustrated with because it just means some of my bits are really hard to get to and the bridges are so incredibly expensive, so I'm kind of looking forward to be able to change that up and having everything in the museum because I'm obsessed with that museum. It's not funny, so that's why my first thing is fossils. I keep trying to fish for everything I can find because I love seeing kind of as you add things what it translates to in the museum. So being able to see all of that kind of done, I think will be awesome. So that's the one thing that has me not throwing my Switch at the wall.
I have a quick interesting question that popped into my head. I've seen a few towns where people have massive dinosaur skeletons outside of the museum. I mean, it looks cool if you have like a massive dinosaur, a T-Rex in your town, that's fine. But do you think like they collect twice?
Yeah.
Like, do they collect one for the museum and one for their town, or how would they do that?
I had a dinosaur in my room for a little while because I had a duplicate fossil. So I had it just in my house. But it was one of the ones that was just one piece. It was the big skull thing that's in the entry to the fossil area. So I had that sitting in the corner of my house for
it
a little while.
It just sounds a little creepy along with the skeleton.
Yeah, it was like
looking
at my bed.
I wonder what kind of review you'll get for that. Like, no,
I've got rid of it
now. Zero for your house because it's just creepy and you're clearly a sociopath.
Yeah, I've sold it now because I needed the money, but I did have it sitting there for a little while. That's one advantage of having two people going out to different islands and stuff, is we do get more fossils between us.
Okay, that's fair. And Diana, what are you looking forward to next in the game?
For me, it's mainly around creating a nice little town in which everyone feels happy with having the stores that are needed. And I'm kind of hoping that there will also be a cafe like there was in Nintendo 3D, on the 3DS. Again, you had to be a slave to the nukes and you had to work in your own cafe in your town. But each of the villagers had their little preference for coffee, if they liked it with milk or hot or sweet, how many spoons of sugar. And that was really, really cute add-on. So I would really like to see this at some point. And I'm also hoping to find a way to get my favorite character ever into the game. His name is Pietro, and he's a clown sheep, which sounds incredibly scary. And when I first saw him, I was like, oh my god, this is awful, because I mean,
everyone hates
clowns, right? But he was so nice and friendly and gentle and caring for the whole town. Really, really loved him. He moved out my 3DS town at some point. But I managed to get him back briefly through somebody who had an Android app that could basically summon every single character onto your 3DS. So I'm hoping to either find an Amiibo card or get someone who has this Android app to invite him to my town once I figured out how to actually do it. So first off, Rosie, then I want to try to get Pietro, then a cafe, and of course I need paths as well.
Lara and Miguel, what are you looking forward as your next steps or achievements in the game? And then we're going to wrap this up for now.
I remember in the 3DS, there was in the game, there was a shop, which was a furniture shop that was run by a Bing Lama. I don't remember the name, but she was super cute. So cute, and I love her. So I know that we can build everything ourselves and we can buy stuff, but I want to see her in the game. And if she doesn't come, I'm gonna be so sad and disappointed. And yeah, so that's what I'm looking for right now. And also Christmas.
Yeah,
of course, always Christmas.
I want to try to find more receipts for the Sakura flowers thing, because I think that's actually nice and beautiful. But I just get Bunny Day receipts. So I just hope that that finishes and then I can enjoy April properly.
So hang on. The Sakura flowers, you can harvest them and then you can build stuff with them? How? I didn't know.
Yeah. Yes.
I have three receipts. Yeah, one is like a picnic set for put it on the ground. You cannot put it on tables, and it's so cute. You have a box of sushi, some potatoes, orange juice, or something.
Sandwiches like this.
Sandwiches, yeah. It's so cute. And also another two floors. One is made out of grass and petals, so it looks like a garden basically. And the other one is pink wood, like you have a wood floor, but it's pinkish, and it's so cute.
Yeah.
Okay, so I didn't know that. That's kind of my, you know, secret learning from this episode then. I totally didn't know.
Yes. Cool. I will send you pictures later.
Okay, that sounds good. Where I'm currently in the game is that I had the first person move in via the campground, and I tried to invite a little fox into the campground, but that particular amiibo card doesn't seem to be supported because I couldn't call that fox through the ATM machine in the nook house. So I settled for a little deer, and she's in the campground now. But I think this is going down the same path as Diana's experience with that cat. So she demanded some furniture, and she said already, oh, I'll take that home as a gift from my trip. And I'm like, oh, great. So probably I have to invite her a few times to see if she sticks at some point. But I really want to get that terraforming app where you can create path and where you can easier, you know, do something about the ground level and get easier to the upper levels of the island, which I found out today as well that you need to get the concert set up going, and then you get it after the concert, apparently. So that's kind of the thing I'm looking forward to. I'm not particularly interested in like Christmas because I'm not that much of a Christmas super fan, but I find it interesting to see what happens with the seasons. Thanks for everyone joining us. Nick, Jen, Helen, Diana, and obviously Lara and Miguel. And thank you everyone out there for listening to this episode. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Code Cafeteria, where you can subscribe to the podcast in the podcatcher of your choice. And we'll see you next week with a regular episode that might or might not contain Animal Crossing again to some extent. Who knows what happens? Thanks, everyone. Say goodbye, people.
Thanks, everyone.
Goodbye, people.
Bye.
Open up your eyes, please.
Bye.
See you in the game. Play.